you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me is Mike Booth Ninja Powers.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, time for another one, huh?
Yeah, time for another one.
Well, a little bit of housekeeping up front. Please head over to, if you could, guys, if you're enjoying the show, please head over to your favorite podcasting aggregate site and leave us a review. 5 stars, please. 1 star only if we are really that bad. And the comments are the, you know, if you have to write a review, which I know some places you don't, but if you do have to write a review, leave something nice or let us know if there's something you want us to talk about in a future episode, and we'll see if we can accommodate that. You can also let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about or how we're doing or anything like that by reaching out to us on Twitter. I am at BoothNinja81. Steve is at SCP21. You can also, of course, leave comments on the Altered Geek Facebook page or on the Geekcast Radio page or geekcastradio.com. There's any number of ways to reach out to us, guys. Let us know how we're doing. If there's anything you think we should share our thoughts on. As we said in the last episode, I think it was help us help you.
Yep.
Or help us make the best show we possibly can, guys. That's what we're trying to do here. So, with that, Steve, what do we got this week?
Geeky things that you don't advertise your into, also known as geeky guilty pleasures.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
So, I feel like this could get... You know, it's like one of those things like, this topic for me came around just being able to talk about Star Trek recently with the close of Star Trek Discovery. We had that discussion on it. Forgive me the name of that show.
Future Imperfect.
Thank you. And that kind of like sparked this whole thing in my head. It's like, I don't talk about Star Trek with anybody. Like, I am a fan of Star Trek. I talk about the movies, but even those, like, I talk about the movies with the people I go to see them with. And then it's like, I kind of like put it in the top shelf of the closet. I know I have a select few friends, maybe. If I'm really thinking about it, maybe like only 2 friends that I'll talk Star Trek with. And that includes you and a friend that I've had since elementary school that got me into Star Trek. And he and I don't talk all that much anymore. So really, it's just you, Steve. But that's like a fandom that that's a thing that I am a fan of and was really into for a long time. And I just don't, you know, I don't share that with anybody. Like, in the 90s, you know, when Generation was kind of at its height and Deep Space Nine started and Voyager started, like, I was really into that stuff. And I had, like, the encyclopedias. We talked about the Micro Machine toys a few episodes back.
Mm-hmm.
Had all that stuff and even built a couple of models, like model kits of the Enterprise and various other Star Trek ships. But... now it's like I'm just like kind of like a closet fan of the series. It's just been reunited after watching Star Trek Discovery, and I just this past week I blitzed through season 1 of Enterprise, and I'm also going to rewatch Voyager. But that's one thing I can think of off the top of my head is like I don't share that side of. You know, there's nothing that I have that outwardly about me says I'm a Star Trek fan. Like, I don't have any stickers. I don't have any, like, Starfleet stickers on anything. Or, like, the, you know, I don't, you know, it's just interesting. Like, that part of me growing up, like, that's just one of the things that kind of got put in the closet. And, you know, my wife knows I'm a fan. And my close friends know that I'm a fan. But... other than that, you know, no, you know, people don't know that. Or if they do, I feel like they don't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So that's number one. You got one?
I'm kind of one of those people that likes to, I'm kind of a impulsive person. So as I mentioned in the last episode with like how I am with emails, that's how I am with franchises. So okay. I get into something, I go all in. In other words, like I want to own everything that has to do with it. And I go to great lengths to get into whatever it is. And so, like, and I didn't really realize that until Tron Legacy came out, that okay. I was starting to do that kind of stuff. And I know that's a long time ago, but I love the Star Trek ships. And so, like, at one point, even with the micro machines, I tried to own all of them. And now I'm faced with this dilemma that Star Trek Online is supposedly going to have a partnership with a 3D printing company where okay. you can have your custom ship built from the game.
I think I've heard about this. Did you talk about it before?
They originally had a partnership with that company, with a different company, and it went, that company couldn't perform. And so it never came to fruition. And so now they've got a different deal with a different company. And actually are supposed to release information on that soon. So I don't know the stipulations for it or the costs or anything like that. But I know that they're going to have like three different base model type things where you can have one printed, just no color. You can have one printed at like minimal and one that's like hand painted by their own artists, to look like your ship design. And I think that they said that they're going to give you like the ability to build it, however you want from the various starships. You can like customize and mix and match to create okay. like your own amalgamation type thing, which I'm kind of interested in because like I said, I love the ships and I love certain aspects of each one. So the ability to fully customize them is very enticing. And I'm probably, like, depending on it, I'm probably going to go to great lengths to go to have one, even though it's just a display piece.
Right. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, this is kind of what I'm getting at. Like, if you look around my house, like, you'll see I've got, like, I've got a number of, I'm really into Legos. Like, you come in my house, there's Legos, like, everywhere, right? But then the minute you kind of drill down into what Legos there are, like, that's when you realize what I'm, like, a fan of, right? Like, I have the Tumblr, and I have a bunch of Star Wars stuff, and I have a Lego Wall-E, and, you know, like, that stuff makes it really easy to, like, okay, he's into Legos, two, he's into, like, okay, clearly he's into Star Wars, and, you know, he likes all, you know, this stuff, and it's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, going, like, whole hog with that, you know what I'm saying? Like I would kind of expect to, from what I know of you, I would expect to walk into your house and see, like, something like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm saying, though. Like, there is nothing in my house that says I am a fan of Star Trek.
See, I'm a fan of Star Wars, but I own nothing.
Okay.
And, like, I've always wanted to, for instance, I've always wanted to have a lightsaber. Like, one of those, not one of those, like, cheap, you know.
No, the master ones.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
The master
yeah.
ones. I've always yep. wanted to have a Luke Skywalker master lightsaber.
Yep.
The green. I've always wanted that. It's always been one of those things that I've been, like, I really want one. I don't need one, but I really want one.
No one needs one.
No.
I mean, it's not like there's anything practical about them, like, at all. But yeah, no, I totally get. Yeah.
It's like the whole thing of wanting the Star Trek uniform. It serves absolutely zero purpose because I won't go out in public with it. But it's the aspect of having it, and then like I would probably do YouTube videos with it. Like I'm not even lying on that, but I would never like unless I were to ever go to a convention again. Like I would never wear it out of the house, and so it's one of those things that it would be like I would be proud of having it, but not enough to go showing everyone in the world. I have now the comm badges on the other hand. I did wear one at Blanchard's wedding. I don't know if he knew that. I had the Voyager comm badge and it was on like, it was on my, my undershirt, like kind of disguised by my, my tie when I was at his wedding, but I had it on.
Okay.
So it was one of those things that nobody knew I had it, but I knew I had it. And so like I was it was one of those things that I was like just kind of pushing the envelope without actually being seen. Which is kind of funny, but what's another one of yours?
Okay. Things I don't readily advertise. This is going to go really quick because I don't think there's any way that we have a discussion about this. But like, just I think a lot of my guilty pleasures pertaining to this are going to come from like from you know TV. I really enjoyed. I have not seen the final season, so I can't really say I like the series as a whole. But this is going to be a quick one. I really enjoy the series Vampire Diaries on the CW.
Okay.
I couldn't find that on the CW. You can find it elsewhere.
Really, Siri?
Vampire Diaries is the story of two vampires.
Stop talking. Holy cow. Sorry about that. I have no idea how that happened.
So, she wanted to weigh in.
I don't even think I said anything remotely close to the trigger to get her to.
No.
Anyways.
It was funny. You just said the name of the show, and then all of a sudden Siri just starts giving you a description of the program.
Which is, okay, sure, whatever.
She can do the pre-show notes when we're going to talk about TV shows.
Yeah. So I think, like, for me, like, I was never, you know, okay, so Vampire Diaries came out, hit TV a little after the Twilight series started hitting theaters, okay?
It seemed more coherent, though, and better looking.
So what I saw I've never read the Twilight books. Everyone that I've talked to, like, you know, I say something bad about the movies, they're like, you need to read the books. I'm not going to read the books because first of all, I don't want to.
Well, my wife said that they're not that well written. She said it's you know, they're written just kind of like the movie anyway, and they're bad.
Well, that was kind of like my thing, too. It's like what I don't like about the movies, I don't think is going to be fixed in the books.
It's not a visual problem. It's a writing problem.
But when I sat down, you know, I was like, okay, let's see what this Vampire Diaries is all about, which I guess Vampire Diaries is a book too, and I think it predates Twilight. Like, I would have to look that up to be sure, but I think the novels that Vampire Diaries is based off of predates the Twilight stuff. But a lot of the rules are similar, except they have actual vampires, not sparkly creatures that drink your blood. And I felt like the mythology was there a lot more because they bring in witches and werewolves, like actual werewolves, not just these guys. I thought it was a really cool show. I watched it all the way up through. I haven't seen the last season, which is, but it's on my list of things to watch now that I'm unemployed, or to at least finish and get caught up on, which I should probably start doing tomorrow. But no, I really enjoyed it. There were a lot of episodes that I thought were really good. But again, I don't have a single Vampire Diaries book. I don't have like a poster. I don't have anything about it. The only way you would know is like having listened to this podcast, or I actually watched that. I haven't actually watched it on Netflix. That's one of the shows that I would regularly download and watch at my old job as a projectionist. And I would save up and like binge watch like, an entire season. It was totally binge worthy. But yeah, that's one of my deeper ones. The other series that I liked, I'll throw out two there, 'cause it's just another CW show that, you know, people will be like, he's insane. And keep in mind, I'm not trying to get anybody to watch either one of these shows. Like you know, if these shows are going to interest you. But like I got into Hook, Line and Sinker. I'll just come out and admit it. I got into Gossip Girl on CW.
Okay.
But I liked some of the characters. Like I liked I don't know if it's the characters. I think I just liked watching some of the actors, like some of the better actors, get to chew scenery. It was a lot like me watching Heroes.
Okay.
There were characters that I like that I would watch Gossip Girl like in the background, and maybe every once in a while like everyone would have something cool to do, but like there was always like one or two, sometimes three characters that I was just like, he's on screen, I'm paying attention to what's going on right now. And the way that series wrapped, I watched that from beginning to end, and I don't feel like I wasted any of my time watching that series. So, but that's two. I mean, obviously they're both CW series, but you know, I'm not gonna argue with anybody over whether or not they're good TV, but I know I had a lot of fun watching them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of, I think I just burned everything that I could possibly think of. I mean, it's a known fact that I'm an Apple fan. I feel like everything else that I would be a fan of is kind of like on display in the house, you know, to some degree. Do you have anything else besides the, you know, the deep dive, real quick, going back to that, I realized I wanted to jump in on that one real quick. So you do a deep dive into something when you really get into it, right?
Oh, yeah. And
one of the last times I did that for me personally was Fallout 4. I had never played a Fallout game. I tried Fallout 3. I got overwhelmed by it. I tried Fallout New Vegas. It didn't do anything for me. But when it came time for Fallout 4, I kind of just made the conscious decision to, I'm going to sit down and play this, and I'm going to let it wash over me, get immersed in it, and, you know, soak it all in. And I went like, that went over for me like gangbusters. Like I got really into Fallout 4. And so much so that I went back, and I'm trying to find this playlist right now so you can put it in the show notes. But I found an excellent series on YouTube, because Fallout as a game has a really rich history, right? And I wanted to know more. Like, I had a basic understanding of like Fallout lore and things like that. But I wanted to know, like, you know, why certain things were happening the way that they were, and, you know, I wanted the story without having to play the games. So I found a YouTube series done by Shoddycast. It's called The Storyteller Fallout. But I ended up watching all of this stuff because it was so well done. It basically kind of starts out like a History Channel documentary of the Fallout lore.
Okay.
And they use in-game machinima and things like that to kind of tell you the overall story. And then it turned into... So they have a narrator in like the first two seasons. Okay. That's kind of telling you what's going on, like you would find in like a History Channel or a Discovery Channel show. And then at a certain point, the narrator becomes the character and you're following him around on his adventures.
Okay.
As he goes to all of these sites and fills you in on the back lore that way. So it goes from being like a documentary to being like a reality show documentary. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty good. But that was like one of the last times I did a deep dive, and I did like I almost got burned out on Fallout. Like that's because I was playing Fallout at home, like when I wasn't working or sleeping, I was playing Fallout at home. When I was at work, I was watching this Fallout series. Like it was just I was in it. It was like all I wanted to talk about. And I find like doing like a deep dive on stuff like that can be like a bad thing. Like you burn twice as bright, last half as long.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else?
I've always wanted to do like acting.
Okay.
But because of my not only like introspective personality and in person type of thing, it's very difficult for me to emote artificially.
Have you ever thought about doing one of those? Well, maybe we should have this conversation off air.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure where this is going yet. But okay. Yeah, it's one of those things I've always wanted to do, just because I think back to when I was a kid, which, and that's probably a different conversation for a different day, but like things that you did as a kid that, you know, is difficult for you as an adult that, you know, was such an easy thing to do at that time, such as like playing pretend in a sense, because that's like one of those things like I used to dress up in Star Trek costumes. One of them was like homemade, like the vest from Generations that Kirk wore. I had a makeshift version at home.
Okay.
That my mom helped me put together. I mean, it looked nothing like the actual thing. I mean, I had a white turtleneck and then I had the, like a red vest, but it wasn't like the one in the movie at all. And I had like one of those bulky like play action TNG communicators that would clip on with that, you know, enormous communicator.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had that, and then I had like a just a standard belt that I had the original series communicator, like the flip one, attached to, which I still have that communicator in my desk. It was one of those things I enjoyed playing. The character of Kirk and I had the original series Kirk outfit, which was an actual like reproduction one, although the thing was uncomfortable and the stripes that were on the wrists were just terribly constructed. Like it was just poor costuming from wherever it was bought from at the time. It would be put to shame in today's standard, but yeah, I it's one of those things I've always enjoyed doing. Voice acting, I love doing too, because I like to change the voice, but it's the physically doing it part that's would be more difficult, but at the same time would probably be more entertaining to actually step into the character itself. So it's one of those things that I kind of wish that I could at least be like a fly on the wall, like a character in one of the shows that I enjoy, just so that I could say I was a part of it, even if it wasn't like anything more than like a cameo type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, just to be a fly on the wall. So.
All right. Well, guys, let us know. Do you have any dirty laundry, dirty secrets? I can't even remember what we said this was at the beginning.
Guilty pleasures.
Geeky guilty pleasures. Let us know in the comments for this, either on the Facebook page or on geekcastradio.com, or you can head over to your favorite podcast site of choice and leave us a 5-star review. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you thought of this episode. Also, let us know about future topics you would like us to share. If this is getting annoying, that's good. It'll stop once we start getting more topics to talk about. Yeah, just keep them coming. As I said up front, help us, help you. We just want to make a good show. So you can let us know on Altered Geek about your guilty pleasures using Altered. I almost wanted to say pleasures, but I feel like that's really bad. Altered guilty pleasures?
Maybe.
Sure. Altered closet? Altered dark closet? I don't know. Altered secrets?
Altered secrets. That sounds good.
Altered secrets. You can hit us up on Twitter. I am at BoothNinja81. Steve is at SCP21. And the show's Twitter is at AlteredGeek. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.